Elon Musk's Neuralink has received the green light from the US Food and Drug Administration for its human trial.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me.
I'll have what she's having.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
Have you ever thought about all this technology that is everywhere right now? And it's not like it feels like I always want to come on this show and talk about technology, even in film, because technology is all over the world already. It's pretty much in everything that we do. How we wake up, how we sleep, how we cook our food, how we move around, even how we work. But regarding movies, considering this is what we talk about on this podcast, sometimes I sit and think about the rise of AI, which I discussed a little about it last week with Onyeka, but this week I am looking at something else, which is this Elon Musk's Neuralink. And now, Neuralink is something I have been following for a while, and I came across some news that broke, I think just a couple of weeks ago, that promised, or I'm not saying that, it promises that you can literally use your brain to move a limb, because there was an article release or some news release that somebody actually did it after having this Neuralink implanted in their brain. My name is MC Adem. This is still Real Talk Extra. I'm going to have a conversation. This particular episode, I had a conversation, a very brief conversation with Stanley Agu, who is a friend of the show. I mean, he has a contributor to the show, and we have had him on the show in past episodes. But today, I'm going to play a conversation we have had, basically talking about Neuralink in our lives and how it can actually have an impact on the movie industry. But before I do that, I just want you to take a very brief listen to this basic explainer of what Neuralink actually is, and I will see you on the other side of the show.
What exactly is Neuralink? Neuralink is an innovative neurotechnology company that is at the forefront of creating a brain-computer interface with incredible potential. Their primary goal is to develop a highly advanced implantable device called the Link, which acts as a bridge between the human brain and computers. Imagine being able to control computers, machines, or even your surroundings with just your thoughts. Neuralink's vision is to make this a reality by allowing the human brain to communicate directly with external devices.
That was just a very brief info of what Neuralink can do. And I know that it appears sometimes that I am fixated on these kinds of things, but as far as artistry goes, the way I see it is, I mean, let me put a hypothetical out there. If you are watching movies, you have people you like on TV. For example, I like Meryl Streep. I want to watch any movie that Meryl Streep acts in or any movie that she appears in. Now, if I have this idea that it's not Meryl Streep that is on my screen and I am seeing a real life version of her, you know, how will I feel? Now, this is the one that is going to come with AI trying to recreate images. Now we're talking about Neuralink, which is going to be implanted in your brain. And I'm thinking, okay, will actors need to go memorize their lines anymore? Are they just going to download the whole script into their brain and they just play it out? Or probably they might not even need to do that because they already have their images and likeness in some kind of software somewhere that they could just recreate on screen and you could just, you know, watch it. But how this will resonate with audiences, I don't know. But with a lot of things that have come into this world and what people have complained about in the past and, you know, cried about and said, oh, this thing is, this thing is going to be the end of the world. Technologies that people have fought against in the past has actually come to pass, and everybody, we all just kind of got used to it. Anyway, before I go any further, you've just listened to a brief synopsis of what AI can actually do or some of its capabilities. I will leave the link to that particular information in the show notes of this video. I know I've been promising to leave links in the show notes and I have not been fulfilling those promises in the past, but I promise this one I will leave in the show notes so that you can literally watch the full video of this particular information and see exactly how it ties to what Hollywood may look like or the film industry may look like, or beyond the film industry, even the whole world we are going into, if we all can have a chip in our brain and become literal superheroes. But anyway, let me stop here and I'll meet you on the other side of the conversation. Stanley, what do you think about, I don't know if you've been following this Neuralink that Elon Musk has actually been working on. And a recent report actually just showed that he has put it in a human brain. And they have tested with a human brain. And it appears that what we are hearing is that it is functioning. And also, there is a newer report that said that, I think they mentioned something about somebody could actually move a limb. In other words, like, you know, maybe somebody who has this. I wonder how, like, are we going to be able to, like, Google stuff with our brains because we have a Neuralink or something? Where do you think this thing is going?
Thank you, Fong, for talking about this Neuralink. It's been a very hot topic. I would like to say that I think it was about 4 years ago when Elon Musk had this famous, or we'll call it infamous, interview. I think it was a podcast. And in that interview, Elon Musk was, that was when he was having the week. He spoke to me on that interview.
Yeah.
That was when he was talking about Neuralink. And one of the things he was trying to explain was that we are all cyborgs, but mm-hmm. that the bandwidth currently is low because we can't do it at our phone. So we definitely, the time it would take you to check something or check an address or use Google Map, it takes time to pick your phone, dial those stuff, do the search, and get the results. So it is slow. So what he's looking at is, since we are dependent on machine computers, definitely we're already cyborgs. But now, with Neuralink, it's going to make the bandwidth faster because you don't need to pick up your phone. Everything's connected. And I remember very well the interviewer was like, man, this is shit. And he was like, bro, we are in a new era, really. And I guess that made him to smoke some weed. Like, it's like having the Terminator coming back again, Rise of the Machines. And I remember very well that in most of my workshops and classes I do take, when I tell people about it, about Neuralink, they're like, this is not going to happen. So seeing it happen is not is surprised. It's like, what's going to happen going forward? That's just for me, because I'm looking at the situation where it would disrupt a lot of things, whether we like it or not.
I mean, we're looking at things like Samsung, Apple, iPhones, because if we are going to have a Neuralink, that probably will not run on the backs of any of these platforms, then we are going to be looking at a situation whereby, if I could have it in my brain, or if I could pay for it in my brain, I probably do not need to go buy me a smartphone. Like you rightly mentioned shortly, that he said that we are all cyborgs, it's just the speed, right? So then I have it in my brain. Then I have it in my brain. And the moment I have it in my brain, it means I don't need to have a phone. I will remember all my phone numbers to dial it. Or maybe I could even just dial it from my brain. And I could maybe just have the same conversation with the same network through Wi-Fi and everything in my brain. And we're losing the hardware. This could disrupt iPads, disrupt everything we're talking about. And I'm really trying to figure out how... I mean, the future of... I don't know if you remember when we thought about these brick and mortar universities and schools going the way of the dinosaur and everything is becoming, you know. And even the fact now, we are even in an era where if we're saying teaching and knowledge must be transferred through the internet by way of maybe Moodle or the classrooms that we have online and all that. What about we just upload the knowledge to your brain through some kind of like, I mean, we just upload like 5 years of academic work into your brain, and all you got to do is just function with the knowledge or have, you know. I'm just trying to figure out where this is going. Even, I mean, leave the, for the movie industry, that's a whole different conversation, but I want to understand where it's even going for humanity as a whole.
Bro, that is why I said it's a very scary stuff. And it's scary because, like you said, it's not even about the Samsung, the phones, the hardware. Those ones definitely would be disrupted, because if you look at the evolution of communication, we all came with the telegram, from the telegram to like fax machine, the turntable for the, other stuff to now, to, you know.
Everything is streamed now.
Yes. Yeah. Now it's about education, really, like you mentioned. The brick and mortar university. Where does it take us to? Is there any need for us to go to school when I can actually download the entire publication on psychology? Everything is open. I can access it. So what's the need? Why the brick and mortar? And of course, we're talking about AI. How is AI going to play that role? To be very pivotal in trying to direct a lot of things. Mm. Are we going to now rely so much on AI? Because we've seen that AI too can make some monumental errors as well. So when we are relying definitely on what we get from the internet or from the web, and AI directing what you get to know, then it's right. A big problem for humanity. We need to really know how to. And I see the reason why Biden and also Sunak have to set up an AI summit, because it's like, come, we need to put brain on this thing. We just can't allow it to be freestyling. Anybody can just pick up anything and do. It takes us back to when we talk about biotechnology and talking about cloning, and we felt, we have to bring that moral standpoint into it. And hey, you just can't go cloning anything you think you see. Before, we now clone and get some kind of different species of humanity, and everybody's like, what do we do with this? So religion came into it. I know the Catholic Church were stamping their feet. No, you can't clone. You can't use human cells to do that. So I think that's the same thing they're trying to do with AI, to say, hey, there are some boundaries we don't want you to cross. And if you need to do that, you need to seek permission, take permission before you go beyond those boundaries. Because like, so what happened to Gemini, the new Google AI, mm-hmm. from, mm-hmm. that when they asked who are the founders of America, There was no white folks that was there, really. And what happened? They had to pull that Gemini to say, hey, we're coming back.
They have to work on the language model. Because if you see, think about the language models now for most of the AI, especially, you know, the OpenAI had its language models, then they upgraded it. And then, you know, if your language model is not rich enough to retrieve data in a certain format to present, then it will be lacking. But you see, I want to look at this thing, I mean, within the confines of, I don't know whether to call it social Darwinism, where it is going with regard, because, okay, I want to just take you back to a time whereby we could say some people, when they, I don't know if you remember the time when ATM machines started becoming popular. I'm nowhere for anybody listening to this podcast. I know, yeah, I'm trying to tell you my age in secret. So there was a time when, you know, ATM machines came up in Nigeria, especially. And we had people who said, no, I still want to go to the bank and go and take my money from a human being because I want to see my cash. And this thing also spiraled into whereby from ATM machines, you started having apps where you could transfer money. And some people were not even comfortable with it. You had people who would move from the banking system. They would move from the banking system, move also and say, okay, I'm comfortable using the ATM machine, but these apps, I don't understand it. Right? And they would say, no, I don't understand. I'm not going to use app. So the people, when I'm talking about, like, I don't know if I'm using the right concept when I say social Darwinism, is that the people who said, I won't use the ATM machine, but they said, okay, I won't use it until the banks, they went to the bank one day and there was no bank teller, no human being to take care of it. You had to either learn how to use the ATM at that point, or you would be typically out. You couldn't have access to the cash. Now, I said that to say this. With regards to this AI thing and adoption, you know, there are a lot of people that are not even in the conversation already. I'm telling you, if you're trying to write your legal briefs, I'll give you a tale of two lawyers. One is trying to use his brain to write his legal brief, and the other is using AI to at least give him a brief synopsis so that he will know how to arrange his. He'll be done in 10 minutes. You're going to be on that thing for like 2.5 hours, if not more, as a typical example. And before long, in industry, you become irrelevant. And I'm just thinking about it with regards to, like, this thing now, this Neuralink, where we are going with it and who will be affected. Because we already have people who are saying, this AI, Baturinchi, I'm not part of it. They are not doing it. You understand? They don't understand it. They don't want to know exactly what it is. So that's basically how I'm seeing it. Because the reason I try to stay abreast of some of these things is because I'm also scared that there might be some irrelevance. If you're not abreast of it, it might be too late for you to change, if that makes any sense.
I think you've said it all, really. When you use the analogy of the ATM machine, in fact, it's definitely the truth. Disruption is definitely going to happen, not just only to we humans, but to businesses. Yesterday, I told you I was at a lunch, and it was a business lunch, and there was this Indian descent, and he's a business guy, and he, you know, we just exchanged cars. He said, what do I do? I told him what I do. And he now said, he sells safes, you know, these strong room safes.
Right.
And yeah, he said, it's nobody's buying it anymore. It's because nobody keeps cash. So what I told him, he said, nobody, he said, before you go to banks, buy these things, or you go to some big departmental stores or supermarkets, they keep their cash, you know, after accessibility. But now you see people are using cards, money is now becoming more intangible. You can't actually see it or feel it anymore. So that is the reality. Not just, but to some other small businesses, they are out of the market. So that's to tell you that the future is something that you and I can't even see, in as much that we know things that are going to happen. If you are not part of it, if you're not part of the digital world, you definitely can't operate. And I think it takes us back to the part in Revelation, in my own interpretation of the 666, which is a digital concept. It's probably the way we are saying it. And if you say 666, probably not just 666 as what it is, but the symbolism of being digital, that if you are not connected in that digital space, you can't shop, you can't do anything, you can't vote, you have to be connected to the digital world. So I think the digital world is the representation or the symbolism for 666. And that is the way I say it.
That's a very interesting. That is so, a very interesting angle.
Because look at it right now. You have social security number. It is digital. You have your bank account is digital. You have your passport number is digital. You have everything about you is digital. You can't do anything without. You can do everything with the comfort of your home. And it's all about digital. So, and now imagine if you don't have it. That means you are not, you are nobody, definitely. Mm. And you can't do anything. Yeah. And time will come in certain places, you can't actually use cash anymore.
Mm.
Yeah, you can't use cash. You have the cash, but you can't use it.
You know, that is actually an interesting angle. I have never thought about it in that light. I have not seen that anywhere. Some, maybe some YouTuber trying to make some random analogy from, you know, but I mean, you know, in for the sake of argument, it all kind of ties in somehow, and it's, you know, but I know that, in fact, it's, I wish we had more time, but I would like your commentary on, I mean, considering like this is a Real Talk Extra podcast, I want us to, I want you to tell me, what is the future of, like, in terms of the cinema space? I mean, a space that you and I have, you know, loved for over the years. Are we now looking at, so actors will not need to learn their lines anymore? Are we trying to upload the scripts into their brain? And the terms of, I did, myself and Onyeka, we just talked recently in a recent podcast, and I gave, we had an audio of Glenn Close, who said she would just go into a booth and they tell her to do a smiling expression and they take pictures, do a, you know, different rules, and that they said that they can recreate every single thing using AI. And Tyler Perry just shut down an $800 million studio that he was working on because he felt that, look, the thing I'm trying to do with the studio, there's software that can do everything, and it may even do it better. So the thing is, that where do you see, will film directors be relevant, or are we going to be having software engineer film directors who can recreate actors' faces to, you know, give a Robert De Niro all the expressions we need and put him in a movie? I'm not even talking about the ethical angle of it, of who gets paid for what by using my image and likeness. I'm thinking, what do you see in that space?
Well, it's already here. Let's just say it's already here, because if you remember very well, this actually caused one of the big strike in the movie industry recently.
That is correct.
When actors felt, hey, AI is a threat. But AI is definitely a threat to humanity. It is definitely going to disrupt jobs. It is definitely going to disrupt activities, your profession, my profession. So AI is a threat to humanity. And that is why the actors, the writers, everybody went to strike. Don't know, you have to give us better pay. And some actors are already suing the AIs already, because, hey, AI would use the collection of work, but that's my work, copyright issues. So there's a whole lot that's going to happen in that space. But eventually, AI, like every new technology, is meant to cut costs. And for the business back, you are cutting my cost. So instead of me paying this actor, the director, the producers, the set and everything, AI can do my stuff. Why don't go to AI? Because that would make me make so much profit. Yeah.
So much profit. Are you not going to cut my cost for the movie ticket? The $10 I'm going to pay to go watch the movie. Are you not going to cut it to like $2, considering that you used AI to do the whole? You didn't pay Robert De Niro the $25 million, the $20 million, and all
someone
that.
Someone already is doing it in a way, but it can be analog. It's more like a Tyler Perry does it in an analog form, because Tyler Perry writes his movie, produces movie, and directs his movie. That's cost cutting. So he's already doing that. And sometimes that, yeah. So he does that because he should have paid somebody to direct this movie. He should have paid someone to write this movie. But he's doing this. So somebody like, AI can do the same thing for me. Yeah. Hey, what else? I'm making more profit. My returns on investment is high. And we're definitely going to go to that mode.
Yeah, eventually, I feel
it will happen. There's no two ways about it. The only thing about AI is that we know it has the potential to disrupt humanity. And I still remember very well, it was Wall-E was the first animation.
Wall-E.
Wall-E that really gave us this insight into what it would be like for us. Yeah. When humans, we can't do anything anymore. We can't even learn how to walk anymore.
Yep.
Because technology is doing everything for us. So it was Wall-E that gave us that, that visualization of what will probably will happen. Yeah. But then, of course, other movies have come in to tell us what it would be like. It's scary.
There will be more movies.
Yeah, it's scary. Because, I don't know what 10 years will look like from now.
What 10 years will look like for me, I feel like, especially with the dropping of this new Sora, I actually saw that software. I went to their website because when I heard about it, I didn't want to believe it. I went to their website. I checked every single thing. And I'm like, I know that some of the things are in the works. Like, you're trying to move a chair. Maybe the hand is not moving the chair. The chair is moving by itself. And all those kind of little things that they are already claiming that they are trying to polish. If they polish this thing, I am worried for the motion picture industry as a whole, both locally, internationally, everywhere.
Don't worry about the motion picture.
This is a podcast, but I know that the world in general.
I do.
I'm trying to specify with regards to like industry generally, how it's going to be. The world, of course, the world is already affected. People are already disrupted. And for those who know how to leverage on this thing, that is why I talked about people, surviving with all these changes in industry. Are people able to catch up? Because if you want to say, maybe now you still want to go, you want to drive your car in 2024 and go to the bank teller, drive your car to the bank, go in there to pay. Such people, if you want to try, go to the bank and see, because I mean, if I can stay home and use some app and be paying all my bills, I don't go. I'm paying on the fly. I'm standing in line. I'm paying my bills. I can imagine people who have to be driving their cars on their day off when they could leverage that time to do other things. And I just feel like, going into the future, it's a whole lot. It's really going to change. And
just to add to, if you look at it actually, you can still eliminate the human factor. The human factor will still be there. The human factor will still be there to organize the AI to do certain things. AI on their own won't just go ahead and do things. So there's still that human factor that say, I need you to create a scene for me. It will do that. I need you to create this. I need you to do this.
I want to be on the side of the human factor.
Yes, so that means if we look at the industry right now, probably AI would take a chunk of like 70%, but you still have 30% who will be organizing it. There's also someone that's going to sell the movie.
Yeah, that's the species of industry that will die. That's what I'm trying to say. And that's, I don't know, maybe I'm still right if I'm saying it's a kind of Darwinian kind of situation where, but those are the people who would just be weeded out, because you're still depending on the old way to do things. And then you're having all these young kids who can, write, tell the AI, give the AI the right language command to recreate whatever they want to create. They will give them the right command while you are still fixated on trying to get you know, this actor to give you the role, the expression that you're looking for. Some young kid who knows how to give the right commands can do the same thing on screen. It will look the same. It will sound the same. It will, it, and then...
Hey, it happened with the Blair Witch Project, man, when they came with the camcorder. You remember that movie?
Yeah, I remember that Blair Witch Project.
Yes. And it generated about over $60 million or something million dollars and stuff. But nobody believed it could happen. It was technology. They were able to use that technology, thus simple, to shoot a whole good movie. And
Well, there you have it. That was the conversation I had with Stanley Agu about AI. I keep saying AI and Neuralink. Well, they are all related, because if you have the Neuralink inside your brain, you will be able to also access the AI. I mean, we're talking about people's brains now being connected to some Wi-Fi thing, and anyways. But my favorite part of that conversation, I mean, before I go, my favorite part of that conversation, you know, the favorite part of that conversation between myself and Stanley was basically the part where he told me when he went for a luncheon in London, the House of Congress, and somebody came up to him. I hope you all heard that part. Where somebody came up to him and said he sold safes, brick and mortar safes, and nobody is buying it. You see, that's the reason I try to bring up these kind of conversations in this podcast, because yes, we could talk about movies, and we will continue to talk about movies. We will continue to do, you know, analysis of movies that are coming out on different streaming platforms, but it's also a worthy conversation to have and to pay attention to, you know, going forward into the future, because this dude who decides that he wants to sell safes in 2024, I'm talking about, this is a launch he said he had last week, that in 2024 you want to sell brick and mortar. I said, but no, because people don't carry cash around. I mean, you bet people don't carry cash around in 2024. Come on. But, however, the moral of the story is that these things are changing. And for me, you know, what I find fascinating, or what I'm intrigued about actually, is how it's going to resonate in industry. How will we relate to what we see on TV? How will when you see your favorite actor on TV, are they the real ones or are they the fake ones? Are they the ones? How will you relate to that when you know it's not somebody who you are actually a fan of that is on your screen, or you want to know, or does it remove the element of fun if you feel, oh, these things are uploaded to our brains? Or let me take you somewhere else right now. How about you don't even need to watch it on your TV, and you have the neural link, and the movies are just uploaded to you for a fee? I'm not trying to go crazy on this thing. I promise I'm not trying to go crazy on this. Because if we're going to eliminate the hardware like we had in the discussion, how about we eliminate the TV or the screens that we watch it on, and then maybe the movies are made, and you know, this Neuralink thing is tied to our optic nerve or something, and you know, pictures are recreated in our mind, and we just lay in our beds, and you know, it may just be like a dream, just we're sleeping and we're thinking about. At this point, I gotta leave it alone. I have to leave it alone. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Real Talk Extra. I will be back next week with another episode. Of course, it's not that we are only talking about what happens around Hollywood or Nollywood or the film industry and awards in general. We also will have these kind of conversations as they pop up. intermittently, because when you hear somebody like Tyler Perry says he wants to stop production on a $800 million studio because of the advent of all these technologies, understand that a whole lot of things are changing, and anybody that is refusing to pay attention, especially in the industry, whether you're listening to this and you're in Hollywood, Nollywood, Bollywood, a filmmaker you work with, if you're into any kind of production, even if you're a YouTuber, I think it's worth paying attention to. All right, people, thank you for listening once more, and I will see you again. Thank you for listening to our podcast. You can follow us on Facebook at Real Talk Extra, and also on Twitter at Real Talk Extra. And you can also visit our website at realtalkextra.com. You can also send us your feedback at podcasts@realtalkextra. Thank you so much once again for listening to our podcast. And until we see again, have a good watch.